Good morning, Tappers. Happy opening day. We are here. It is Thursday, March 29th. Happy to talk to you this bright and early. Little morning pod for you. Charlie here with you. It is Snowtap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are also on SoundCloud. You can subscribe there. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Snowtap WI. It is a website. So let's get into it. No, we're not going to dick around here. We're going to just get right into baseball. Maybe because I have to get to the day job. Maybe not. But I am excited to talk about baseball. I think with opening day, you always get excited. You always, there's always that feeling of you have a chance to do something this year. Or even if your team's not going to be that good, you at least have like until April or May until they suck. I remember when the Brewers were kind of starting that rebuild, my philosophy was, hey, if they just play good baseball till June or July, like that's okay. Like I can live with that. Like at least I get like a half a season of good baseball and some fun moments. And then as it gets closer to Packer season, I don't have to care as much, but it's okay. This year is not that kind of year. The Brewers are one of the contenders for a wild card position. They're going to be fighting it out with teams like the Cardinals, the Mets, the Rockies, Diamondbacks, all these different teams that the Brewers might be fighting it out for that first or second wild card position. And they can fight for the division. I know it's crazy to think about because the Cubs are a perennial favorite. They are definitely the NL Central favorite far and away, but they can compete for the division. Baseball, anything's possible. So to just give it to the Cubs, to just give it to the Nationals, to just give it to the Dodgers is pretty foolish. I think the only division where you could say it's pretty wrapped up or it takes a massive, you know, something to happen would be the AL West with the Houston Astros. So yes, the Brewers do have a shot at this division. This is not just, hey, they're going to be contending for a wild card, but it's more to level that expectations and know the wild card's the goal this year with knowing the Cubs are a better team than the Brewers, but that doesn't mean Milwaukee can't come up and win this division. That is possible. And the Brewers have a tough schedule out the door with multiple games against St. Louis and Chicago where a lot of takes could get spicy, but like I said on Tapping the Keg earlier this week, Brewers Twitter right now is the most rational place because Bucks Twitter is a bunch of cynical assholes and Packer pinheads. So the Brewers Twitter has to keep it up because if they don't, then we're going to have problems and we're going to have just everybody be in a bad mood and we'll see. I mean, you shouldn't overreact with baseball in the first month. Now, can the first month make or break your season? Absolutely. We've talked about how game one is as important as game 162. But at the same time, the Brewers are going to, you know, it's going to be a process. They're going to have winning streaks. They're going to have losing streaks. You just, I think as a fan, want to see those winning streaks happen early and often. So with the first game this afternoon, the Brewers and Padres are the opening day opponent. Brewers opening up on the road, I think for the first time in quite some time. They are in sunny San Diego, so no worry about cold weather for this team. They get sort of an extended spring training. This spring training counts, obviously. Petco Park's been decently friendly to the Brewers throughout the years. Chase Anderson versus Clayton Richard. The Brewers struggled last year against left-handers, so we'll see if that trend continues on. They did not do well against lefties last season, and we'll see if they can buck that trend early on. Richard, I believe, faced the team last year. I don't have stats on hand for that. I apologize. That's a bad podcast on my behalf. But he's a decent pitcher. He's one of those guys like San Diego. A lot of their pitchers, it's the same story. He's pretty good at home, but he's not that great on the road because Petco is such a pitcher friendly park, and that should play well for Chase Anderson. We know that there is an opening day curse that Junior Guerra, Kyle Loesch has suffered the last few years. We'll see also if Anderson's able to buck that trend. He does get the friendly confines, like we mentioned, of Petco Park. So that's a good place for Anderson and a few other pitchers, Chacin and Brent Suter, to start. And then Zach Davies will be the opening day starter at Miller Park on Monday. I would not say he's the fourth starter. I think they just don't want Suter to be the first guy out for the Miller Park audience, which makes sense. And I think it's a high-pressure game. I mean, pitching in front of a sold-out crowd in April is a lot different than when you play on Tuesday at Miller Park, where there's only about 20 or 30,000. And it's a little different. I don't expect it to be as big a crowd. So makes sense that Davies is out there. As for the Padres do bring in Eric Hosmer. They brought him in on free agency. First game for Hosmer, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of excitement around that. They did also add Chase Headley and Freddie Galvis to their infield, so that infield definitely gets a little bit of a makeover, shall we say. Headley was a former Padre, then went to the Yankees. He's now back with the team. Jose Perella and Manuel Mango are two studs in that outfield. I mean, that's a good looking outfield for San Diego in terms of the future. So the Padres maybe are a year or two away from being something, but they definitely have some building blocks. So it's not to say that this team can't take two out of three from the Brewers, although the Brewers should probably get the first two out of three. I mean, it's early, but you'd like to see them get two out of three in this first series. So the like we mentioned, you know, this Brewer team, the expectation is the playoffs, and we'll see what they do with their depth. I mean, Ryan Braun's going to be there at first base, so no Eric Thames on the first day. I assume he will come off the bench to pinch hit at some point, but the Brewer lineup will kind of probably look like the ones we saw in Houston, with Lorenzo Cain leading off, and then Christian Yelich hitting second, Ryan Braun third, Travis Shaw third, fourth, Domingo Santana then hitting fifth, VR sixth, and Pena, and then Arcia. That'll probably be your lineup. I could see them maybe putting Domingo Santana in the four hole and Shaw hitting fifth with the lefty matchup. Jonathan VR last year was brutal against right-handers. Facing lefties as a right-hander, as a switch hitter. He only hit .214. I don't know how much of 2017 stats we can incorporate right now. I mean, we can talk about it, but things change. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, we'll have a better idea of this team in 15 days. We'll have an even better opinion of this team in 30 days, 45 days. Just as the season goes on, we'll start getting to know this version of the Milwaukee Brewers. So definitely something to watch. We'll see. Playoffs are bust. I think a lot of people are excited. I think this is as excited as people have been for the Brewers since probably 2011. I mean, 2014 was a good year, but I think people didn't really see it coming, and they sort of made the push. This is probably at the 2011 level, but baseball isn't easy. You still have to get there. All right, some MLB predictions as it is opening day. So, you know, you gotta give some MLB predictions. So here's how I think the divisions work out. I think it's the Nationals. I think it's the Cubs and the Dodgers and the NL. I do think those are the three best teams in the National League by far. You could split hairs on which one is the best. I think Justin Turner not being there for the Dodgers early on is a massive loss. So we'll see if that affects LA early on. Wild cards, I have the Brewers and the Mets. So the Mets are a little spicy, but I think the Mets pitching staff's legit. I think they have enough offense, and I think the Mets are the Brewers' opponent in the wild card matchup. Biggest surprise, I'm going with the Atlanta Braves. So Atlanta Braves have some young guys. Ronald Acuna, who's not up yet, he's going to be up after, I think, his arbitration, whether that's April or March. He's a complete stud. The Braves have just pieces, and I think everybody kind of expects the Phillies to maybe be the team that gets there to 80 or 85 wins, but I actually think it's going to be the Phillies, or I'm sorry, I actually think it's going to be the Braves and get that done. Biggest disappointment, I'm going to say Arizona. Mitch and I talked about this on the podcast, I think on Monday, but Arizona tends to always be that team. When you expect them to do well, they don't. And when they're not expected to do well, they win 90 games. So I'm going to go with Arizona as a team that a lot of people have pegged into the playoffs. Bold prediction, I think Mike Matheny gets fired mid season. That is a hot take. I know that some people have the Cardinals in the top 10 in terms of a wild card contender as a team who can compete with the Brewers and the Cubs this year. I think Matheny ends up getting fired this year. I think the Cardinals get off to a rough start and he gets let go around mid-June. In terms of NL MVP, I have Bryce Harper, Cy Young, Noah Syndergaard. As for we'll get to World Series, but we'll go to the American League. So the American League, I think, is a little easier. I go New York, Cleveland, Houston, nothing really surprising there. Wild cards, Boston and Minnesota. So a lot of fun for the upper Midwest for baseball this season. Biggest surprise, Chicago White Sox, kind of in that same vein as the Braves. White Sox are probably a year away, but wouldn't shock me if they end up winning, you know, high 70s, low 80s this season. Biggest disappointment, I'm going to go Los Angeles Angels, and this will feed into my bold prediction that Ohtani really struggles this season. I don't necessarily see it. I think he's struggled in spring training. I don't know if that's going to entirely carry over, but it doesn't seem like he's a guy who's going to really be effective for this team. I just don't see it. I think it's a very bold prediction because everyone sort of thinks he's going to have this decent year. Some people are putting the Angels into the wild card because no one's really going to fuck with the Astros. Let's be honest here. But at the same time, I don't see it. I don't know. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I wouldn't be saying this if he was a Brewer, but I just could see this being a little bit of a tough year. As for a World Series, I am going to go with the Nationals playing the Houston Astros. So that is probably not a great series for baseball ratings, but I think Bryce Harper finally gets there. I think the Nationals finally do it. It's also because I really don't want to pick the Cubs. I really don't want to pick the Dodgers. And I'm not going to put the Brewers in the World Series just because that's a little spicy. Now, if they're kicking ass and they're around there in July and we reset these predictions, I'm going to be like, hell fucking yeah, we're going to make the World Series, but not right now. Not on March 29th. All right, last topic of the day. I saw Russell Steinberg of SB Nation wrote a piece about Chris Mack leaving Xavier for Louisville and that it was a little brother situation for the Big East. Can't disagree more with Russell. I respect him, but I think that's a really bad take. The Louisville job is a top 10 job in college basketball. Even with all the scandal, all the issues, they have all the money in the world. They want to spend on this basketball team. They want it to be cleaned up. Chris Mack would be foolish not to take this job. Sure, the pressure is going to be more, but this is definitely a Tom Crean, it's Indiana situation. Like, it's Louisville. Like, this is a job you have to take. And for Mack, like, why wouldn't he take it? I mean, he lives in Cincinnati, very close to Kentucky. He's not that far away, so to move his family is not like a total burden. He's still staying in the same area of the United States, yet with a bigger paycheck, with bigger spend, and he gets to try to revive one of the top institutions who's won national championships, and he couldn't take Xavier over that hump. And we'll see if that's a trend. I mean, not to like, when these Xavier guys have left, Thad Matta couldn't win a championship, couldn't get him over the hump. Sean Miller couldn't even get his team to the Final Four, became an infamous bad guy. So we'll see where Chris Mack lands. I think Chris Mack's a really good coach. I think he's going to make Louisville a really solid team. But that was just a foolish article by Russell. Big East makes a ton of money. They're not a little brother. They can compete right with anyone else. It was more that the job was that attractive. If Chris Mack left for, I think Payne Toucher said this, but I'll piggyback off it. If he left for Pitt, then we have an issue because Pitt's, you know, in a fucking shamble. And then that's an issue. Then that, you're right, that's a little brother situation. But Louisville's a top 10 job, man. Get out of here with that. Also, just quick note that Chris Carwell leaves the Marquette coaching staff for Duke. He's going to be part of Coach K's staff now that bag dropper extraordinaire Jeff Capel is now the Pitt head coach. All right, Tappers, that'll about do it. We'll talk tomorrow or later tonight about Bucks Warriors. Look at the first Brewer game of the season. May they go 162-0. and also preview the Final Four. I feel like with opening day and with a lot of other local topics this week, we haven't done a lot on Final Four. So we'll talk about the Final Four on tomorrow's podcast. All right, guys, take care. You know where to find us, SnowtapWI, on all the channels. Subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. Take care. Have a good Thursday. See you.